call the regular meeting of Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors to order. We will now begin with the Pledge of Allegiance, followed by a moment of silence.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. All righty. Do we have an adoption of the agenda? Are there any changes that need to be made? Yes, no, maybe so?
That's all right.
All righty. Do we have a motion?
So may to approve the agenda.
One note, please. On your package, I think tab R is not mentioned on your package. On yours, Mr. Sheridan, is yours mentioned on your tab?
Yes, it does have R.
See, they got probably more updated than mine.
Structure lease agreement.
Well, maybe, no, on your binder, I mean.
Mine doesn't have R.
Okay. So the hard copies that got sent out, I think got sent out early before staff added tab R.
I do have R.
And tab R is an advertisement for proposal for a First Amendment to a structure lease on a tower. So it's the document's in the package, but it's not on the agenda in the three printed packages. So the public has it, it's on the website, and we'll review it with you, but it's just not listed on your agenda, it was just in your package.
Okay, so when I read my package from my computer, it was in there.
Yes.
Yeah, as I remember.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's in the hard copies of the packages.
Right.
The when they added that kind of at the last minute, the agenda didn't have it on those three hard copies, but every other thing had it. And the package itself, the paper itself, is
it wasn't
the
on the first thing that I approved.
No.
When it came out.
Right.
That's right.
Right. All righty, do we have a second?
Second.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We'll now move to a special presentation. Mr. Nichols.
We'll call Mr. John Thompson to the front, and the board, if you can come around to the front too, please.
You get right in the middle there.
Oh, boy.
So after about a dozen years of great service to Fluvanna County, we unfortunately have lost one of our great county collaborators and partners in business, our cooperative extension agent, John Thompson. The best part about his leaving is that we still get to use him because he's now the supervisor covering our area and other areas, and so it's a great promotion for John and for his family, and we've gotten 12 years of great service with really collaborative efforts with so many people in our community. But the Board of Supervisors would like to recognize you, John, for that, and we'll get some pictures and then bring your family up too for photos. So, Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors takes pleasure in presenting this certificate of commendation to John G. Thompson for services set forth in the following citation. For exceptional performance and commitment to excellence while serving as Extension Agent for Agricultural and Natural Resources, Virginia Cooperative Extension Fluvanna Unit from July 11, 2005 to May 25, 2017. During his tenure, Mr. Thompson was widely respected for his leadership and extensive knowledge, lending both attributes to those with an interest in agricultural, community gardening, the Master Gardener and Master Naturalist programs, and the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. He established strong and positive working relationship with community members, local organizations, and state agencies. Mr. Thompson was a great friend and champion of the Fluvanna farming community. Mr. Thompson has been a proactive county leader, an inspiring mentor and colleague, and an impressive professional in every respect. The county of Fluvanna is a better place because of the commitment that Mr. Thompson provided in his job and to his community. He always carried out his extensive duties with humility, professionalism, and proficiency, By his dedication and hard work, Mr. Thompson served as an inspiration to his peers, colleagues, and staff, and his consistently positive efforts and many accomplishments helped improve the quality of life for all citizens in Fluvanna County. We wish him well in his new regional leadership role with Virginia Cooperative Extension and look forward to his continued positive impacts on Fluvanna County and throughout Central Virginia. Presented the second day of August 2017, John M. Sheridan, Chair.
And I'd like to say thank you, because I know our 4-H program and the county fair have benefited, and you've been a part of that, I believe, also. So thank you so much.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it more than you know. There's not the right words. I wouldn't have been successful if it hadn't been for the personalities and the people and the departments within Fluvanna County, too. You're part of the team, and you're only successful as the rest of the team. So I don't deserve all that praise. That belongs to the whole unit, the whole department, or the whole county. So thank you for this. I appreciate it more than you know. And I look forward to still being part of the team in some way as we move forward. So thank you all.
Well, John, if we can bring your family up and get some group pictures. Mm-hmm.
Just like my son.
That's right.
It's keeping you quiet.
Absolutely. No, y'all get up in here.
Mr.
Get
Chair, in here. Before they leave.
My daughter is at band camp. So band
oh. Hang on. Well, just one second.
Yeah, there you go.
I hope nobody has a paintball gun.
If somebody has a paintball gun, I'm in trouble.
So you can have a second.
Here, you want to hold that
there? All right, I'm going to give you one pretty big smile.
All right. Yeah, but he's still representing this blue.
Yes, sir. Good. That's not a question or problem. I still know who's gone.
That kitchen we almost made
it for. Yeah. We need to buy him a little nice big fan.
He probably has three of them in his other car, just like I do.
I'm leaving tissue paper all over.
Thank you.
I didn't want the ladies to have fits.
And when Kelly says to do something, I just say yes, ma'am. All right. Now, County Administrator, your report, sir.
Chair, members of the board, a few things to report. If you'll notice in front of you, you've got a hard copy. It's not the final hard copy, because when they're printed, they'll actually be on the thinner kind of magazine or like magazine paper, and there'll be a little staple there. But that's the annual report for 2016, and it's on the website, ready to go. What I wanted to ask you about, and this is for the public, this is what it looks like when I open it up.
How many did you print?
None yet. On the website, there's the cover, and then it goes down through. It's a 16-page document. If it'll. Well, there we go. Maybe the rain made our internet slow. But anyway, a 16-page document that talks about the accomplishments through the county and the Board of Supervisors' strategic initiatives and things that have been done over the last year or so. And sorry, it's just not pulling up because of the network. But anyway, a very interactive, easy-to-read document. The proposal would be to print that in, put it as an insert either in the Fluvanna Review or in the Rural Virginian. You can see the costs there in the bottom of the screen. The Rural Virginian's a circulation of about 13,500. That goes to all the homes. The Fluvanna Review is a circulation of about 6,500. And it goes to all the homes at the lake area, and then to news boxes around the county and around the area. You can see the costs associated there. They're actually dramatically lower than all the first five or six bids I got from different companies. But a company that actually prints the Fluvanna Review has very excellent printing prices, and so they print for that cost. So if you want this document printed to be available for the public, whether you want it as a full distribution, or whether you want it for just, you know, print, you know, 1,000 of them to have available for meetings, or which way you want it to go. So, and there is $3,000 potentially available in your, in the BOS personnel because of the, you didn't adopt the pay raise, so that $3,000 was built into that in the fiscal year 18 budget. So conceivably you could use money from that area or BOS contingency.
I think that if we put it in the flu battle review, that the cover should say that that should be really called to the attention, because people have a tendency
that there's an insert,
to,
you know,
pitch
annual report.
Pitch things, the insert. But I think if it's highlighted on the cover,
we can check with the editor and see if that's possible.
Maybe the editor could do that with that first page, with that first page somewhere there. I think you would get the attention.
I would think you could get someone to deliver that to a lot of the stores and all, and say that cost you're talking about $1,400-$1,500 there.
To put it in the review.
Yeah, and there's a lot of places that stores be tickled to death usually with anything local like that to draw attention.
Well, it can be delivered all over, but I guarantee it'll cost more than the stuffing cost.
You can get somebody to deliver something. Then it's not going to cost $443. For one day.
I think it depends on what we want. If we want the public, that this is good information, and we want them to know this, then we should try to get it to everyone.
Well, I think we're kind of patting ourselves on the back here. That's kind of the way I look at it.
Now, this is what we've actually done.
Yeah, I know.
We should be proud of what we've done. We need to pat ourselves on the back, and everybody should.
Well, I think it's also important for residents to be aware of what the community and what the county is doing for the community, and the changes that are coming. I think one of the criticisms that we saw in the survey was, you know, based on misinformation in many cases from the public standpoint. So to me, this is a good document and a good flyer, and something that the more citizens that know what is going on in the county, the more active they are in their county, the better off the county will be in total. We don't do this too often, but it certainly seems like it's well worth it, in my opinion. And I know that if you try to stuff the boxes at the lake, the cost is around $400-some-odd. So I do know that that's pretty much the normal cost from that standpoint.
I think we should put it in the review and have them stuff it.
You like the review stuff it?
Yes. And if you might put something on the top saying, look inside.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
Okay, so I'll proceed with the flu review option there.
Yes, okay. That's for me.
What are we doing as far as the role of Virginia? Are we distributing it in stores maybe from that standpoint? Is that?
Well, I will print more than the distribution of the flu review, so we have some to be able to take to public meetings. When we have our town
county
halls
fair
and things like that, I always have those available when we go to those. But specifically, that would be a, you know, that first run would be ones that are in the flu banner review itself. The rest of the copies we'd have in the office, and we'd distribute as we go to different meetings or different town halls and those types of things.
That sounds well. Sounds good. So we
got
three yeses on that.
You didn't check the rural Virginia now. They're pretty.
No, that's the top.
Oh, that's
the
top.
The yellow
one is the rural.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
The yellow, the
yeah.
This is for printing about 7,000. This
I
is for
see.
Printing about 15,000.
Mm-hmm.
Rural Virginians of circulation for southern Albemarle, Scottsville area, and then
mm-hmm.
all of Savannah of about 13,500. The Flubana review, direct delivery to the lake area, and then boxes throughout Flubana and other places in central Virginia. That's about 6,500.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd print, you know, I'd probably print 7,500. So we'd have a number available in the office for the next couple of years. We only do this really every couple of years. This smaller, pared-down version than the big one we did before is meant to be almost an annual thing. But the, you know, see how this one goes, and if we do another one in a year or two and you like it, then we'll print that one too. But in any case, it's on the website and ready to go electronically for anyone that wants to read it too. So we'll come back with a dollars change on it later on the personnel content on the BLS personnel. Just some highlights to staff. Kevin Zoll, our building official, completed all of, there's three tests they have to take to get certified building official designation. It's a rigorous process. He's completed all those requirements and is a fully certified Virginia Commonwealth building official, has the certification. Already was designated as a building official, but needs a certification within the first year on board. Some promotions in the Public Works Department based on the previous ones we had shown you and the changes in those position descriptions. Anthony Tanner, Bobby James, Clayton Morris, and Bruce Anderson all moved to those new positions. Mr. Stevens briefed you on that a little while back.
Yes.
We have another new business in the county. Storyboard is a company that moved from Charlottesville to Fluvanna County. They took over the old Blue Ridge Sports Building out at Zion Crossroads at the business park.
Starlight Business Park.
They're a pretty amazing company. They're three gentlemen started, but if you look at their website, I'll pull this up here if it'll come up. They actually have some really great products. If you skate or ride kayaks or bikes or go parasailing or use canoes, they've got all the storage products to haul them around, to store them, to put them in your garage overhead, to store them on the top of your vehicle. All these innovative storage solutions for outdoor toys are what this company does. And they have customers from all around the world, and they ship all around the world. And it's pretty interesting the way they've got all these different styles. I've got a couple things picked out already that I need for my
garage. Hold on, time out. Right there. Stop right there. Mr. Weaver, I can so see you.
Watch out.
Is this his little Mr. Weaver's little new car?
Yeah, that's my little.
Is that that one that has little handlebars up there? He stands on it?
It's free. You can ride it free.
Yes.
It's minimalist, too.
And this is where you can put your skateboard, Mr. Weaver, over the left. So. But they really have an amazing business, and they've grown fast, and we're glad to have them in Fluvanna County now. They bought purchased that building out at Zion Crossroads at the business park, and a great company to add to our repertoire here.
Did they move out of Charlottesville, or they just...
No, they moved out of Charlottesville and came to us.
Wow.
Here's some new staff on board. I think you've seen the emails in these. Denise Brown is our new building maintenance worker. She started on the 17th. And has been a great addition already. Deputy Treasurer 1, Stephanie Leedy, started work on Monday. She's the final hire in the Treasurer's office. And then our new Assistant Commonwealth Attorney, not Deputy Assistant. New Assistant Commonwealth Attorney started work yesterday. He comes to us from Halifax County as the Assistant Commonwealth Attorney there. So three great new staff members on board. Glad to have them here. The Columbia Hazard Mitigation Grant has been extended. It was till September of 17, but because of the timing to buy all these properties and do the demolition of the properties, they did agree to the extension. We won't need it until September 15th of 2018, but the federal government agreed to extend the deadline to close out that grant. The well for this building, for the courts building, we thought it was a part of the well pump, and it wasn't, fortunately. It was just some cabling that had burned up, and so that was relatively easy to fix, but still not inexpensive, but less catastrophic than the whole pump going bad. So they've fixed that now, and we're back online.
Can we be reimbursed on that in any way?
We'll check and see if there's any.
That's what I was wondering. Damages.
It doesn't seem like it.
That's a lot of money for that $7,500 something like that.
Yeah. It was not cheap. We're just glad it wasn't the pump. The tourism signs for I-64, you remember Mr. Smith had briefed you on these before. You see the ones down here on 15 now, where it's got the Pleasant Grove Park and Museum, and say, a left arrow or an arrow going to the right, and then from the other direction. But we had talked to you about the potential brown signs that are on the interstate. These are where signs could be placed on, both eastbound and westbound on the interstate, and then it's two off-ramps there at Zion Crossroads. But this is what the cost of those signs are. To do two of the big interstate signs and two of the exit ramp signs, it's almost $18,000. Now those are one-time costs unless something happens to the sign. There's no annual fee or maintenance fee for them. But if a truck comes through and runs them all over and they have to be replaced, we'd have to pay to have them replaced. You potentially have an insurance claim then too. but you'd have to pay to have it replaced. And we haven't gone forward with this. We want to know whether you want to go forward, whether you want the advertising out on 15 or not.
I don't want to pay $17,000, that's for sure.
Yeah, we don't have a choice on the cost. The cost is what the cost is when you go through VDOT to do that. And we could either do that, you know, we could do it now, put it in the 19 budget, or not do it at all, depending on which way you all want to go.
Do you think that does the board think that the park and the museum are that widely known that people would be coming to it regularly?
Well, I think that's the purpose for doing the brown signs, is that they aren't.
Yes.
And this might go. This might make people scratch their heads and go, "Wonder what that is."
Some of your new marketing brochures.
Do you think that's going to be enough to draw people in? I tell you something, you talk about the marketing brochures. When we came back on vacation, we stopped at the rest area.
Right.
Orange County, a bunch of the different counties have their brochures because they have them in that rest area.
Right.
We
want to do the same thing. We've got the rack card for the Pleasant Grove House and Museum, but there's a new fold one that you'll be seeing that's coming from the Economic Development and Tourism Advisory Council that'll essentially be, when you open up kind of a map of the Central Virginia area, I call it the triangle map. It shows Monticello, Pleasant Grove, and the old stone jail, and Montpelier. So you've got those things kind of right in a triangle, and you can go any of those directions to hit all those when you're in Central Virginia. And when you're drawn to Central Virginia for Montpelier or Highland or Monticello, we've got stuff right here in Fluvanna County that's along those routes as well. And so that's part of the marketing brochure that'll be coming. But
yeah, now, is the Pleasant Grove Museum opened like 9 to 5 every day, or what are the hours?
Jason's on
8 to 5 Monday through Friday, and then Saturdays and Sundays 12 to 4.
Okay, now is there someone in there at that time,
yes.
Or okay, so that they could ask questions and there's somebody there.
You always have a museum attendant.
Okay.
And that's going to be part of the tourism triangle brochure. We'll have some information like teasers, so people will want to get online or pick up the phone, call, schedule a visit, get more information.
And how many people come through in a week to visit?
You know, let me start out by saying Pleasant Grove Park is not just a small little area. You've got 21 miles of trails for horseback riding, biking, along with the Frisbee Golf, this golf course, the museum, ball fields. There's a lot to do. It's more of a regional park, even though we don't really call it a regional park.
But we would have that without that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
What we don't know, and I'm not sure where we can get this besides going to Monticello and asking for some more information, we don't know how many buses and vehicles could come down 15 or come down 15 to get to Monticello. This could be an opportunity to try and capture, you know, a few more vehicles per day per weekend, because it is kind of a shortcut to that area or to the wineries, breweries, whatever.
Now, do you advertise on social media? Does the county do that? Do we have a, okay.
Indeed.
Because
Twitter and Facebook.
One of my constituents called about a soccer camp, and there were only, I think, 5 children registered, and only 2 showed up, and then they recruited a couple more. But she said that if, you know, everybody checks social media, and if there was some way that people could say, oh, there's this great, what was it, English person camp?
It was probably like a British soccer camp.
British soccer camp, right.
They're kind of getting phased out, just in my opinion, because they're charging a little bit more money. But as far as social media, yeah, I think we're using that to its capacity, but it just depends on the weeks. If it's a newer camp.
And they're all published in the several times a year the Parks and Rec program guide. And then on Facebook and on Twitter account, and then of course on our county webpage.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that there's some stuff before I started working in the county, I had no idea the county did X or Y or Z. It really depends on how you get your information. So we have to constantly reevaluate how to get information to individuals, because what do you do about the folks out there that don't use the internet? Some of the older folks or things, people that don't have good internet service. So we try to target 1,000 different ways. That's why they send a lot of flyers home with kids from the schools too, to get to families. But
what is the $17,874? That's just
that's their cost for those signs the metal posts, the concrete bases, because they put, they build all this, put it in, and go install it on the interstate, and that's the cost
that's
for
cool.
it.
So that's what, the it's two sides plus 1953, is that what we're talking about?
It's six. It's $6,900 here twice.
Right.
That's two of these.
One
and
each
this,
side.
The $1,900 twice, two of these, and it would look like it would be in these locations, you know, coming up to the eastbound on Interstate 64 at our interchange, and then westbound, and then also both on the off ramps, those smaller brown signs. So it's four signs total
and luckily,
of those configurations.
And can you know, a lot of times those little brown signs will have kind of, you know, maybe for lack of a better word, the little hiking symbol on it, you know, different little symbols like that.
Mm-hmm.
Could we have some of those put on there as well too? I mean, that probably won't change the cost significantly. But I think highlighting what are some of the activities might make it a draw.
We can definitely
well.
Do that.
Yeah.
I would have to go back and talk with the sign folks to see if that would be a price difference.
Sure. It wouldn't be much of a price difference in any case if we wanted to change this and put, you know, hiking and biking or something there.
Right.
Hiking, biking,
right.
And horseback.
Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Those signs are pretty positive when you see those kind of things.
Yeah, and I wonder if we could get some, you know, maybe some dollars from the two wineries and maybe even the breweries if we, you know, put that as part of the sign as well too.
Well, you can't add
you can't
them
do that
on this one. And
can we put the little wine symbol? We can put the little wine symbol on.
I don't know. We'll see.
So I believe Cunningham Creek is looking into that.
And they've already paid for the blue signs here and up by Riverton Lake Road. They've already paid for VDOT to put those up, but they don't have interstate signs. But most
wineries have interstate signs.
They would have.
But
they would have their own attraction sign on the big blue signs.
Sure. But I wonder if we're allowed to just put the little wine symbol on there as well too. It'd be worth asking because
I can ask. I don't think so.
Tony,
it's not actually at the park.
That's what I was going to say. It's, you know, you're advertising
yeah.
the park.
Oh, you're advertising
there.
Just the park directly.
We're paying for the sign, not for a poster.
Right. It would be great to have, you know, at least hiking and horseback riding on there.
Yeah. This is historical. Historical.
Right.
County public use, I guess.
No, I guess I was just thinking more generically than that. But
yeah,
if it's just for the sign. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of eyeballs, you know, in probably millions
the question
of eyeballs.
Is
I mean, what's the traffic count on?
It's 36,000.
Over the time of the sign.
So you're talking over a million eyeballs in the course of a year.
Is it going to draw in enough people to eventually pay for itself? I mean, that's the whole thing.
Going
back to what you said,
mm-hmm.
people aren't going to, we're not widely known enough for people to think about it.
Yeah.
But I know when I ride down the road, think about it. If you see one of those brown signs, you kind of go, I wonder what that is.
The new Lake Anna signs. I mean, Lake Anna's fairly known if you live here, but if you didn't, now they've got the Lake Anna signs on the interstate. They've been there about 6 months or maybe the last year, but they weren't there before. And those signs really stand out. So there may be some use to it, but again, there is some cost.
You know what is what's really missing at the Pleasant Grove. Jason, you remember when the student from the high school, the Blue Ridge Gifted Program, was on our board, was on the Parks Recreation Board, and she came, her project was, and she came up with two plans for camping. The camping that was really in the woods with the tent on the ground, the primitive, what did you call it, primitive?
Primitive.
And then the ones with the come in and bring your own room space with you. You know, that's another phase that we probably need to look. There's no camping in here.
There's primitive camping at
where?
The Hardware Wildlife.
Oh, it is? Okay.
That's primitive.
But it's not any, and that's not advertised, right?
It is on their website, and it will be on our tours for brochure.
Well,
okay.
I think the other...
And there are signs near it, but,
right.
but it's
right.
not...
It's
not pretty odd to leave out. If you want to go to Shire National Area here, you really kind of have to know it, or you have to see one of the state maps, because it's not... Outside of the area, it's not really well-known.
Yeah, and I think as Zion's Crossroads area starts to develop, we're just, again, getting people off the highway to turn here to then start using some of the...
Just to catch
sure.
their
businesses that are going to be there.
And I'm more curious about the village station here in Troy Marcadelli. How many folks are going to pass through there and say, oh, let me grab a soda,
right.
sandwich,
right.
or
right.
get to the park or something. So that's.
Right.
Well, I guess that's the only way that Fluvanna would benefit, because if you go to them, it's not going to pay for itself.
No,
because
it would be for the businesses. You know, do they stop at Detroit Deli? Do they stop at EW's First Run Cafe?
It's a first step in trying to make Fluvanna sort of
a natural tourist destination.
This is the first step.
The Shire Natural Area is a state park, I think, and they probably have to do that sign. Now, they may get it free, I don't know, but we could ask about it. Right.
If we did it, talk about doing it together, that might be somebody we could join in together. What do you think?
I'll ask. Just so you're aware, it's $250 per application. We had that budgeted. So I'm almost thinking that we would have to fill out another application.
Well, we may not, but if the state decides to do it, then we may not have to pay it, because if it's their park, it's not
Shire,
a county park.
Shire?
Yeah.
That's,
or is it privately?
RCS.
Oh, we're about a conservation. Okay.
We could speak with Ravana Conservation, see if they'd like to put it on there.
Right.
Share the price with us, or go forth or something.
There's a regional park in Stafford, and what they have is just the park name, and then underneath they have a separate sign with the hiking.
Right. That's what that it wouldn't come on this sign. They just make another sign with the different things there.
I think that's what they would probably recommend, but I'll put it.
Because you can put fishing on this
you
one.
You can fish off of. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say you can put fishing on this one.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say technically you can put fishing on that.
With the beach path.
Yeah.
All righty.
Yeah, let's get this.
So just look into it and come back to us, please. Thank you.
Okay.
All righty.
And then your next meetings are coming up, you know, obviously the second meeting this month. Now, we planned a work session to talk about water projects and Zion Crossroads on the 16th, if that's still amenable to you. So 4 o'clock on the 16th.
Okay.
I may have an issue getting here for 4 o'clock, but I'll be here for the 7 o'clock.
I may be out of town that day too. I'm not sure.
Do you want us to push it back potentially and do it September 6th for an evening work session after
yes.
your 4 o'clock meeting?
Would that suit everybody else?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not trying to push it back or
whatever you want to do. As far as I'm concerned.
What did you say?
Doing September 6th after the 4 o'clock meeting.
Yeah.
I have it on my calendar for the 16th.
Can you do it?
Yeah, I can do it on the 16th.
Okay, so we'll change it to following the 4 p.m. meeting on the 6th, and we'll get that on your calendar.
Yeah, I have.
Any questions I can answer for the board?
Any questions, folks? Thank you, Mr. Nichols.
Sure.
All righty. Here we go. We'll now open our first round of public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium. State your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and directed to the board. Is there anyone wishing to speak during public comment? Seeing no one, I will now close the first round of public comment. We have no public hearings on the agenda. We'll now go to our action matters. Not too far. Action matters at tab A, request to advertise for public hearing, Fluvanna County Social Services, Fluvanna Christian Service Society. I'm going to get it right in a second. Food bank lease, Mr. Nichols.
So the food bank has had a lease with the county since 1997, and they've been on site at Carriersbrook since that time. Now the lease went for 5 years or 3 years, I guess. And then it got renewed for a few years, but then really kind of lapsed. The food bank's still been in operation that entire time, but this is aimed at giving a new lease for a location that's similar to where they are on the same property, but just a little bit adjacent. So let me show you the document. So the draft lease has been prepared. I've worked with the FCSS representatives, and they've seen this document, and I've met with them. But let me show you on the document, on the drawing itself. So right now, the FCSS is behind the Carriersbrook, the old shop from the high school. They've got two buildings there, one portable building and one stick-built building. And then they proposed to put that movable building over here behind the parking lot, right behind the gymnasium where the MACA thrift store is, and then add two additional buildings that they plan to purchase in that area. So this draft agreement contemplates them leasing bare land to put these facilities on to serve as a food bank for the community. So to do that, for the board to go into that type of arrangement, you actually have to have a public hearing. So we've advertised this arrangement, this lease, in the paper this week and next week. And so this is asking for you to ratify that advertising so that you can then have your public hearing on the 16th of August to consider this FCSS lease. And there are representatives of the food bank and FCSS here tonight if you have any questions for them. But the one note, the lease itself in the package says $180 per year. That's based on the acreage cost and the per square foot cost of the assessment for that type of acreage. The lease, the lease advertisement actually said $600 per year, and that's because that was an older estimate, and we just left the higher one in the ad because we didn't really agree on that other number, $180, until we had actually validated some figures. So it's advertised for 2 weeks, comes back to you for public hearing on the 16th, and this is the document you'll see on that date, unless you choose to make any changes to them tonight. But all we're asking for now is to ratify advertising to go to public hearing.
You're not discussing the substance of the lease. You're just, staff is asking you to ratify the advertisement so you can consider the lease on the 16th.
All right. Are there any questions from the board?
Will you be advertising at 600 or 100?
It's advertised at 600. But you could, when you have the public hearing, you can change that amount, whatever is in the document. The 600 figure is already in the paper. And so I can't change that now, but it doesn't really matter what that figure is. It matters what the final figure is you agree to when you have your public hearing. So the draft document says 180 now, but originally it said 600. But when we reassessed the count of the square foot and checked the per acreage with the Commissioner of Revenue, the 180 is more accurate. 600 was just an old figure from a previous one, so it still says 600.
Okay.
Any other questions?
No, I'm just comment on this, and I know you don't want to discuss it right now, it's only public hearing, but we do have a general liability of $1 million, and I think that's really good in any of these contracts to have it covered.
We do, generally. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Do we have any questions for anyone in the audience? All right, how about a motion, please?
I move the Board of Supervisors ratify advertisement of a public hearing on August 16, 2017 of the proposed lease county property to Food Bank and Christian Services Society, FCSS, for the purposes of supporting food bank operations in Food Bank County.
Second.
Motion is made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. We will now move forward with item B, quit claim and release agreement with Food Bank and Christian Services Society. Mr. Nichols.
So on this one, I really think you probably ought to defer this one to August 16th. Now, for two reasons. A, I still need to talk to you about the potential sales cost, the purchase price. And so we'll do that later on in closed session because that involves a little bit of negotiation on what the dollars are. Secondly, it wouldn't really make sense for you to purchase this building when the lease hasn't been done and they're not ready to move because they're using the building still. So I would make this closing date for this quitclaim, whatever the final date is, make it the date that they actually move to their new facilities, because otherwise they're occupying our county building for already bought it, and we'd have to probably charge for that. So I think defer for discussion, unless you have a question tonight, defer for discussion next time, but I will then brief you in closed session when we talk about the dollars, and then that in the public meeting, the dollars will actually be discussed, but I have to get your agreement on that first, on the offer.
Everyone?
I agree.
I do too.
Okay.
Third one, we got three. Let's go.
Okay.
All righty, we move forward. Oh, caught me in the middle of a bite. C, Board of Supervisors meeting date change, Mr. Nichols.
So this one, if anybody reads the motion, read the one off the screen, please. I just added some date clarification there. But if you look at the calendar for next year, you're getting ready to adopt a budget calendar after this. And the budget calendar has a date in that's different from your regular meetings. So in the month of January next year, normally your first meeting would be on January 3rd. The problem is, the week before is the week of Christmas, and those 2 days are holidays, so they'd be the 27th, 28th, and 29th. But then Monday and Tuesday, the 1st and 2nd, are also holidays. And so it's hard to get a package ready and get things done and chopped and come right back off the holidays on the 3rd. Now, staff can do it, but it just seems inconvenient from a holiday and travel perspective. And so I would propose you may want to change to the 10th, and then you'll still do another meeting on the 17th, which would be the third Monday. But we need this one approved tonight if you're going to approve the budget calendar. When you, in January, when you approve your organizational manual and the calendar for the year, that won't be the only change, because the 4th of July actually falls on a Wednesday this year, and you're going to have to change your meeting date for July as well. But this one I need changed to match up with the budget calendar, if you concur. If not, I'll do the meeting on the 3rd. So it's either the 3rd or the 10th, but the proposal is for the 10th.
Why don't we just make a general motion for those types of situations, so that we automatically know that if it falls on that date, it's going to be pushed to the following week.
Well, that's difficult to do because it's not the usual way to do that. Is if it's a holiday or something like that, and this is not a holiday, it's just the difficulty of getting things together because of the holiday before. The other thing is you'll actually be setting this subject to your ratification on the 10th as the first meeting of the year, so-called annual meeting. So I would suggest that you go ahead and specify the date.
Some boards do have it in their bylaws where it has kind of an automatic clause about how you change to this, but they're a little bit awkward because it doesn't fit every circumstance. And this year you're going to have two dates you're going to have different. Last year we had no dates different, except we changed one in mid-year because of, I guess we got close to Thanksgiving or something, we changed that one. Maybe it was a year before.
I mean, with all these
holidays,
what do y'all
think
y'all are, teachers?
Yes, right. Pardon?
I said, with all these holidays, what do you think y'all are, teachers?
Yeah. Two shows a night in town all week.
Yes, ma'am.
I move to change the first regular Board of Supervisors meeting of 2018 from the first Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018. To the second Wednesday, January 10th, 2018, due to the Christmas and New Year's holiday periods.
Second.
Motion is made by Ms. Booker, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Chair, all opposed? Chair votes aye, because that gives Mrs. Seeger another week to make more cookies. Now, next, FY19 budget calendar, Mr. Brookhart.
Believe it or not, it's already that time of year again. I'm just going to briefly highlight some adjustments we made to the calendar for the FY19 budget season. First of all, there's no reassessment this year, so the board is not going to need to approve a separate tax rate for advertising or hold an extra public hearing. So you'll see we also moved the preliminary budget discussion to the first December meeting.
One note on that. We normally haven't done that very much in the past. This is really a meeting with all of you for you to talk about budget early in December and say, hey, I'd really like to see this, or really like to talk about this. Besides your two-on-twos we'll do later in January when you see a budget preview, this is a chance to actually have you talk about budget priorities so we can build those in into the budget process.
Probably the biggest change is we moved the nonprofit presentations to two different meetings. So this time, hopefully, they won't be as rushed, and there'll probably be more time for discussion after each presentation.
Trying to fit 20.
But it went pretty good.
Nonprofits into one evening is kind of long, but
they took care of us for the most part.
Yeah.
On March 14th, the board will set the proposed budget and tax rates. It's moved up a little bit, sort of, to allow enough time for the advertisement before the public hearing on the April 4th. And again, the board may adopt the budget during the second week of April, which is the same as we did for FY18. And it just gives the constitutional officers a little more time to prepare for the.
I thought we were early this past year.
Yeah, we were, but.
And now we're going even earlier?
Well, it's just a one-day difference.
Okay.
This year was April 12th. This one's the 11th, and if you don't get it approved on the 11th, then you do it at your regular meeting on the 18th. And that way you still get it done during the month of April.
This is just over the last few months of the calendar, if you look at. The school board has seen this draft, and they approved their budget calendar on July 26th, and their dates do match up with ours, so we'll get it over there. Any questions?
Thanks, sir. All right.
Is there any discussion, or are we ready for a motion?
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the year 19 budget calendar.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Seeger. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to go back to the quick claim and release agreement. I know we agreed on that, but when you said you had three votes.
No, ma'am, three nods to defer.
Right, but the other two would say that they didn't want to refer. No. So, and I don't think that's what we want it to say. We want all of us to defer.
Right.
Yeah. But so you said I have three votes.
Vote to defer, motion to defer was 5-0?
Yes. Right. That's okay. What I didn't want it to be two.
I didn't think we had to have a vote. No, I thought we just had to have three people
vote,
in agreement.
But still, the minutes were picked up.
The minutes should show that there's a consensus.
The majority.
Consensus. Okay. Not a majority, but a consensus.
Okay.
Of the
defer. Okay. Wrong word.
Okay.
Because we didn't vote.
Right. But I didn't want to show up to three people and four and two people.
Now, this doesn't require formal action.
Right.
All righty. We will now move to presentations. All righty. Tab E, VDOT Quarterly Report, Mr. Saunders.
Yes, sir. Chairman, members of the board, good evening. My name is Alan Saunders with the Virginia Department of Transportation. And for your quarterly update, I am going to go through and quickly review your latest monthly report and address any questions that you may have. First item that we have, the fatal accidents. Thankfully, we've got no new fatal crashes to report in Covina, which is a good thing because we've seen quite a few of them lately. So we're always thankful for that. Smart Scale. You're going to be hearing more about Smart Scale. VDOT is going to begin sending messages out to the localities about coming meetings that we have this fall. There may be some changes to the objective criteria that's used to score Smart Scale projects. Smart Scale project selection is every other year. So even though we just went through a cycle of that, the next applications are not due until the fall of 2018. We want to start this fall preparing, looking at candidate projects, preparing the applications with the counties to make sure that we're prepared much sooner. Last year, we started, and your team here can note how quickly it went, in August, and the applications were due September 30th, and that was just too fast for us. We're still learning this. So we're going to start this fall preparing for next fall for Smart Scale. In your projects that are in the design phase, the Deep Creek Road Bridge, that's moving forward on schedule. We're still looking to advertise a contract later next year. The 53-618 roundabout, that is moving ahead on schedule. The 600-618, you just adopted in the six-year plan. The funds for intersection improvements there, we're going to assign a project manager and we're moving that project forward as quickly as we can. Depending upon the right-of-way requirements, the add date for that should be at the end of 2020 or in 2021. The Route 53 HSIP rumble strips improvements. This has been on your monthly report since before I came 12 months ago, but that's finally advancing, and it's really important now because a lot of the distracted driving accidents and crashes that we see are from folks looking at their phones and drifting over the center line and hitting other traffic head-on. These rumble, it's not rumble stripes, we call them rumble strips. Stripes when they're in the middle, strips when they're on the shoulder. Rumble stripes are going to make a big difference in that. So thankfully, this project has funding and is beginning to move forward. We just met yesterday at the residency to look at a kickoff date.
So Alan, these are going to be center line or edge line?
These are going to be center line. They should be rumble stripes initially. And the rumble strips themselves depends on how much room we have on the shoulder. Sometimes
there's not much.
It's just not enough room. And we're seeing that the stripes are better as far as return on investment. The stripes are better. The Columbia streets, we are moving forward, hard surfacing those on schedule. The middle of September, we've got a mailer that we're preparing that we're going to send out to everybody who lives in Columbia through that area where the streets are impacted. And that'll describe the process that we're going to follow. It'll have my contact information if they have any questions. And it should take, weather permitting, 3-4 days, and we'll get in there and knock those out. And they'll get them out of the dust and then finally be hard surface. As far as the road projects, your roundabout down below us, 1553, that's on schedule. They have 20 more business days before they'll, working days, rather. They'll get that done. The bridge projects, the only one to note, the Route 623 over Venable Creek, that is moving forward on schedule. That's going to be the VDOT forces doing that work, but right now it's on schedule for September. Resurfacing projects, the one thing that I do want to note about the resurfacing projects, VDOT has a new mapping tool on their website, and it's not noted in your report, but the next monthly report I send you will have a link to that, and that's something that you can post on your website or share with your citizens. It shows all of the 49 routes that were on the resurfacing schedule this year, which ones have been completed, which ones are left, and information about each one of them. And studies, as far as traffic engineering studies under review, there is, Mr. Nichols, change on number 708, Blue Ridge Drive,
okay,
that I just received a report for this afternoon, and I'll forward that to you.
Great, thank you. That's the lady that had asked about those things.
Did you decide on a speed limit?
The traffic engineering section sent us their recommendations this afternoon, and they are recommending posting a reduced speed limit.
Great, thank you.
We just got that, and so I'm thankful for that as well. It makes sense. As far as the completed studies, we sent in today, we received the results for Route 250 between Troy Road and 15. And the traffic engineers did not recommend reducing the speed limit there. They recommend a left-hand turn lane on 250 to Troy Road. Out of the 10 crashes we've had in the last 5 years, the majority of them were rear-end crashes due to that left-hand turn or people hitting someone turning left. So reducing the speed through there, they didn't think. The other three accidents out of the 10 were people who actually ran the stop sign from Troy on 250. So right now, reducing the speed limit isn't recommended. What they hope that we can do is over time identify funds for a left-hand turn lane on 250 at that location.
Yeah, the other thing we're going to want to meet with traffic engineers, because we've got a lot of businesses that are starting to latch into that area. We've just got three new businesses now going to come right up on 250, and we're worried about the sizing of the road too. We've talked a lot about widening 250 to be four lane farther down, maybe almost Detroit Road. So based on your email this afternoon, Jason and Wayne will contact you so we can try to set up some of the traffic engineers.
Good.
Talk. And Ms. Eager, if you're interested, you can come along on that one too, because that whole strip is.
And I think one of the other places was up at Vanderlyn, where the industrial intersection is.
Right.
I think that was one of the big reasons we were talking about going to 45 there. I mean, we just picked Troy Road to start it at. I mean, but that intersection up there, that's the question mark I have.
And so that's what we want. We want to show your engineers where these new businesses are coming in,
okay,
because you're going to have a pickup of traffic of those, and then where the water line's going and the other businesses that are farther down. But we think they need to see that laid out. So.
Okay. Very good. They will be back out here on the 16th.
Okay.
They're going to meet us at 600 Slice to review the final diagram for the crosswalks and the pedestrian signal head changes and the illumination. And once we get their approval for that, we will go ahead and begin to schedule the concrete work first, and then they'll schedule the signal work and the pedestals. And when they come down here, we'll follow up.
If they're here on the 16th, I can have staff available that day to meet.
If that will work for them, they'll already be down here.
Yeah.
So
good.
Sure will.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sanders, did you say that at the Riverside Gate you're going to be reducing the speed there?
Not at Riverside Gate.
No, okay.
At Riverside Gate, we met with them last month at Riverside Gate, and we stayed there for about an hour and 15 minutes and observed traffic coming along the 600 corridor. And they had some recommendations for that. Their first response is to close it. Of course, that's not something that we're going to do. But that would eliminate the traffic concerns altogether. That's the easy way out. So when we come through there on the 16th, their traffic engineer, Nathan Unbarger, is coming down this time. We're going to go back out there and look along the
entire. What time in the morning were you
in the morning? 9:30 is when we'll be out.
9:30.
But we spent an entire afternoon along 600
last month.
But Nathan didn't come this time.
Critical times are obviously commuting times.
Yes.
People fly up the hill.
Absolutely.
They're step on an accelerator going up that hill, and I came out of that gate for 5 years, and it's dangerous.
What will look at on the 16th is we need the traffic engineer, Nathan Unbarger's approval to advance the crosswalk, the sidewalk improvements, and the pedestrian signal head changes. They'll have the monitors beside the sidewalk where they can press a button and it will change the signal in all directions to stop so pedestrians can cross. we need their approval and blessing before we can start that. So that was the primary goal of the 16, but we're going to look at 600 in Riverside as well.
Right.
The site distance there is so limited, they recommended A, closing it right in, right out, a site distance easement to clear the trees back, all of that. We do not have a lot of right-of-way along the 600 right. corridor. So cutting back trees would really be in people's backyards.
It's been another subdivision approved partway down the hill on the north side.
Where the S curve goes down to the hill?
Yes, sir.
That's on the river side of the road.
A set of about 40 units if it ends up getting built out, which will make it even worse.
And traffic's just going so fast that it was dangerous for us to be pumped into the shoulder there monitoring the traffic. We observed 4 near misses in the course of an hour and 15 minutes. And that was not during rush hour, just a dangerous
time. I was going to say, at 9:30, you weren't there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
I think we,
or 7 o'clock.
Discussed a flashing light of some sort or another.
We did.
You said that's probably too expensive.
Fund that. If that's all they beat up, we'll fund that for us.
What we need is a sign that has flashing blue lights on it.
Yeah.
That's what we need. The law enforcement through there is key.
Well, and the developer that's building a subdivision has agreed to put a pull off there, or sheriff's be able to sit there. But anyway,
we'll follow up with you to see if we can schedule that on 16 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be a good fit.
That's great.
The last thing I did want to note on, as far it's not really shown on your report, but Wayne Stevens has really been working hard on the recreational access program application for the Pleasant Grove Road extension. That's something that he's been working on, and we've been working with folks in our central office trying to determine. Whittle our way through the criterion to make sure that we're leveraging as much of the funding as possible. There's the initial set of criterion that we gave them. They came back and said, well, you're not taking, there's an opportunity for $490,000 there. You're not asking for enough. So Wayne and I met 10 days ago, and he's sharpening his pencil. We're going to have a different diagram, include bike ped, to try to gain some additional funds within that program.
Thank you so much.
In an effort to save $95,000.
I had a question. A constituent called me yesterday and asked me about slowing the traffic in Sycamore Landing. Sycamore Landing. That's where you put the...
Across from Olive Creek.
Child sign?
Yeah, child of play sign. And thank you very much for that. He was very appreciative.
Good.
He wondered if there could be rumble strips to slow traffic or just what can be done to slow traffic in that area inside the subdivision. Right now there's no posted speed limit.
There's not a 25-mile sign.
No. So that means they can go 55, doesn't it?
I will look at that. If there's no posted 25 miles an hour, then the statutory limit would apply to its residential street. Seems like that should have something.
Something, yeah. Okay.
The rumble strips is a traffic calming measure. We like them.
But
the community adoption is always a struggle because they're very loud at 2 o'clock in the morning when somebody calls.
Right. So I think he'd be happy if he had a speed limit.
Straight something.
Right.
The roundabout down here.
Yes, ma'am.
The business at First Run, were they aware of how much closure and how much construction was going to come in that area
and impact their parking
lot? Yeah, their parking lot. I think the curb of the shrubbery has to be taken up. It has cost a lot of disruption, and my only thing is if they were aware of it, if they knew where I'm getting it, it's almost like they were not aware that their main entrance would be closed off, and that I know that they're using their parking area for a lot of their equipment and their cars and all that, and I'm sure they would have to know about that. And that's just a question. Have you seen it?
I have.
It's a lot. And then I know the last couple of days they've had the big hole that they've had to put the, what you call it, cement, great big cement thing in there, and that's been a lot of distraction too.
Well, as far as the curb,
I know they've closed down a couple times. I know their business hasn't been rambunctious here lately, but even that they had was kind of disallowed. And I don't know. I think it would be good, and then you've already done it. It'd be good for someone to just talk to the owners, to just tell them, you know, how long it's going to be, and then you've already done it. But if you haven't, I think that would be a real.
I personally am not. Mm-hmm. That part of the project, good. The communication phase, would have been pre-Allen.
Yeah.
But I would be happy to
right.
call with them and
yeah.
look at what the problem sure. is and see if there's something we can do.
We'll have Mr. Smith meet Mr. Williams and talk to
okay.
him, just see what any problems. And there's only about 20 days left in the project, but in any
right.
case, maybe we can mitigate something now, but
sure.
we'll also find out what the communication links were.
Mm-hmm.
It may also have been, you know, when he was, the planning for that was before that first
sure.
one was even there.
Right.
And so
yeah.
that may be part
and
of the problem,
I think
too.
It's
we'll
just,
talk to him
it's
see.
Just good PR for us.
Indeed.
For us to know, you
we'll
know,
board, with them.
You know, as a board of supervisors, I don't want them to say negative things about how we handle this down here. I want them to be real clear that they were very knowledgeable, they knew, they talked to people. So if someone says something to them, they can say,
yep.
no, I'm aware of it.
My standard know. Answer is that's VDOT, not us.
Yeah. Right. But anyway,
I would like to
hear we'll put on me.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
I have one more question,
yes,
and maybe Mr. Nichols can help me too. It's the status on Country Creek Way.
I'll give you a brief letter tonight.
Okay. I had a man call me today. He was looking at buying a lot, and I guess the county's not issuing building permits.
Correct.
So he shouldn't buy that lot.
Yes, and his real estate agent should have clearly gone through that those issues with him.
Okay.
And the neighbors all know that, but I'll give you an update later on after this meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Update that we've been corresponding on.
Any other questions?
Did you want to go over any of that?
If there are any questions about the resurfacing schedules, I'd be happy to answer them. So far, we've only received, given the number of routes that we've got,
yes.
we've only received just a few complaints.
Yeah.
And many of those were about loose stone and
yes.
a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a call from folks on that same road
yeah.
who were just ecstatic about it.
Yeah.
Said that they had heard that someone was complaining, but
mm-hmm.
they said it's fantastic.
I didn't realize it was all of that. You know, I had a call from someone about it too.
The yeah. 53 resurfacing, I know you've done from the intersection up to about the high school now. But there were a lot of patches farther down on 53. Are you going to continue to resurface, or were the patches just patches?
The patches are ahead. There was funding this year to repay.
Got it.
And we also patched in ahead of next year's repay.
Okay,
go.
Thanks.
And Mother Nature gave us a break. We had some extra snow money that we spent on additional patching getting ready for next year.
Okay.
Mr. Saunders, on 600, you did a beautiful job at North Boston. Resurfacing North Boston, and then something tore up part of it, and you've since resurfaced. What made that big hole?
That big hole, there is tack, asphalt. It's asphalt glue that we placed between pavement layers. And at that location, the contractor did not place a sufficient amount of tack.
Okay,
so it caused it just to slide.
Okay. I thought some truck had come through and scraped it all off.
It just peeled it right up.
Yeah.
Peeled it right up.
Okay, thanks.
Mr. Weaver was out there spinning his wheels and just wore it right.
I was in a hurry.
I feel like I'm spinning my wheels some days a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Saunders.
My wheels spin a lot.
Yeah. Strategic initiatives update, Mr. Wendell.
Good afternoon. I'm here today to talk about the strategic initiatives. As you know, the items in green are already complete. And the red items are on hold. So what I'm mainly going to focus on today would be the yellow items that are currently in progress. Start with A4, implement practice and documents, which is in the county. A vendor has been selected for this program. Right now, we're waiting for contract details to get worked.
the planning commission's been working on that quite a bit with the with staff too.
That goes back to the slides that we looked at that day.
Yeah, the big package I gave you as an example.
D5, create a local business support action plan. Actually, economic development has developed a business retention and expansion program that includes visitation to businesses in the county. So Mr. Smith's making effort to get out and visit with the businesses and talk to them. So that's happening. D6 and 7 are ways to better communicate with Flugana residents regarding our website. We do have our new website up, it is running. There are tweaks, you know, as we find things or add things, and I'm sure that will continue, but the website is up and running. I'm sure we'll also do that.
And part of A6 is website, it's Twitter, it's Facebook, it's hard copy, it's reports like this, you know, the printed report. It's all those things, because every person has kind of a different learning set, so we do that through all the different various options. Every time we hear of somebody that didn't know about something, that we think they should have known and there should have been a way for them to know, then we address, try to figure out what that communication method could have been and add it to the bag of tricks on trying to communicate with the public.
B8, improved communication and collaboration with the school board. That's always ongoing. The school board's had a little bit of restructuring going on right now, and so a lot of people have new duties, and once that all gets completely put in place, of course,
and they'll be coming to you again this fall to pre-brief on budget and talk about budget options with you, and a couple other times, an annual report, and then the budget planning. And then during budget season, they're here a couple times. The meetings will again start up with the chair, myself, the school board chair, and the superintendent, generally on a monthly basis. And I'm not sure there's much else that needs to be done now, as long as you continue this really strong collaborative interaction where the school board members and the board of supervisor members talk and meet periodically. I think that's a really good positive change from 5 or 6 years ago.
B9, create a brief and easy to understand tax impact message. That's ongoing. There is a Zion Crossroads brochure that's out there, which is kind of a little bit like that, but we want to have something a little bit more robust, and that's still under construction. C1 through C3 is basically overlay zones and GIS and technology regarding planning. And planning and zoning are continuing along with projects. Then C4 through C7 basically deal with water. You're going to have a work session on September 6th about the water projects. I don't think anything has drastically changed since the last time you were updated from this brochure. So I guess you'll just maybe hear about all that then.
Yeah, and you'll be getting a lot that night to talk about the master water and sewer plan and the rules and regulations, because we really need to get things finalized now for you to start putting out for public hearing and adopting on some of the rules and regulations that go on in place. So that's what September 6th will be about.
C8 is the county's E911 emergency communication project. The cutover is still scheduled for the end of August. And Ms. Elliott will be presenting, I believe, September 6th. Plan on September 6th.
Can you go back to the overlay? What else do you have?
C1, ma'am.
C1 through C3.
Okay.
That's part of your September 6th work session too.
Okay.
Is the overlay zones for Zion Crossroads to find out how you want to finalize that, because we've got to get those things in place.
Okay.
C9 is for Stevens Pleasant Grove Farm Museum design. Your folder did just get the design back right before we came to this meeting, so anybody's had time to look at it, but it has arrived, so we'll be reviewing it.
As you recall, a month or so ago, we only got one bid, or maybe 6 weeks ago, we only got one bid in on the original design. It was way over projected costs. So we met with the Historical Society and Mr. May, who's going to donate a lot of the equipment for the Farm Museum. The two designs were selected, one a little bit more elaborate, one a little less elaborate. And the company, the Historical Society, paid for the customization of the two design plans. So those are finalized now. And now they'll go out for invitation for bid, and we'll have a contractor bid on building those two designs to that structure and that specification, rather than have somebody come up with their own design. So this design, we'll show you the pictures of the two of them. One looks more like kind of a traditional bar with slope sides and then up a little bit in the middle.
We saw it.
Okay, that's right, yeah.
Yes.
And one is a little flatter and things.
Yes.
But you'll get bids back on both of those two designs, probably within 6 weeks?
Probably. Maybe 8.
Yeah. But Mr. May and the Historical Society have been participating with us on this all the way along, and it's moving again now. And this time, because it's an invitation for bid, as long as we get acceptable bids for those structures, we should be able to pick out of that and move on.
But can we do anything to show that museum is coming? Mr. Mann, who is like 95 or older,
well,
he's getting,
A week ago, he reviewed the plans himself.
Right.
I mean, so he knows that everything that's happening.
That.
He's been here at the office for meetings
just
in the last month.
Can we hold the shovels
right.
and dig a hole?
Well, until you select an invitation for bid, until you select a contractor and approve the contract, it's still up in the air. What if all the bids come back at $500,000?
We'll use that shovel.
We put a sign there saying this is where the
future home of kind of maybe should have had.
Right,
hope,
as soon as
have
we get
farm
more
museum.
Money.
Yeah.
We'll plant a tree.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's
after. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend doing that, but you can direct us to do that. We'll be glad to, but I think I would wait until you award a contract.
Well, at least have somewhere where he is in a picture with the designs or something to put it in the past. I mean, it's not even with the designs. Some way.
Maybe the editor of that review will make a big prominent mention of the new farm museum design.
Yes.
We can give her a picture of those two designs put in there.
Right.
She left her recorder here, though.
You know,
her recorder's still going.
You know, I have no idea. He may be 150, but I was just thinking.
I'm not going to bet against it.
Yeah, I was just thinking of some way.
We'll work with the review to get
that. What you mean by that?
I would appreciate it.
I'm not sure I like it.
Won't y'all do that for me too when I get back?
Ms. Toller's delighted to be working with the matter for you to get some design picture.
95 now.
Still get
C10.
Is the Palmetto Streetscape working with VDOT to see if grant funding can be secured, and we just have a community meeting to discuss traffic flow and other options.
They're working on sending the letters out and deciding the date to be able to meet with all the people that live here in the town in Palmyra, so we can show them those traffic flows that we showed you and the potential changes in that to see what people don't like about it, because there's going to be something that we forgot or didn't know. We want to meet with everybody in town, so that's what we're trying to set up after summer. So many people go on vacation in the summer.
Once the tourism strategy was put into place, then the formal economic development plan will begin. So that's what we're having now.
And you will now start getting quarterly reports on economic development activities that include new businesses in the county and businesses that have left or closed that we know about. Because there's a significant number of new businesses that have just popped up again in the last month.
What's a rough estimate of the number of jobs that those several businesses will be bringing in?
Well, the roofing contractor was around 25. Another significant business down 250, we can't talk about yet, was between 35 and 50. Jason, do you know about the Sins? The white building out there.
Carbon Core, that's going to be about 15.
What's Carbon Core?
It's the brand new white steel side structure at
Zion Station
where Light Academy is.
Okay.
The big one they're building back there.
What did they replace?
No, it's brand new.
Oh, it's a brand new building. They didn't replace anyone. Okay.
What do they do?
So they build springs and fiberglass. And just poles for boats. They do the
canopies.
Sails.
They build stuff.
There you go.
Styrofoam. Sorry.
Styrofoam.
I was going to say fish tanks.
So they had 15 or so, you said?
It's going to be about, I think, 12 to 16.
Okay. And then the board company?
Store my board is, I think we think just three or four
three,
right now.
They're like an Amazon.
That's the gentleman that was at the
business. But with the expansion into the new facility, they're using only.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure about it. There's three people.
Were you at the grand opening?
He was there.
They're only using about 7,000 to 8,000 square feet of the 25,000 square foot.
Right.
So they're going to grow into that. And eventually, they have enough room for call center staff. They've got upstairs room for more office space. So they're going to continue to grow.
There's a couple more that we can't brief you out here, but there's a couple more that are specifically focused on sites and want to build at. Starlight Auto Park, or Starlight Business Park, too.
Concrete company.
A lot of changes.
Concrete company, I want to say around 12.
Yeah. So close to 100 almost, yeah.
And we have a lot of land.
And is it very skilled people who they're hiring, or is it just people who can learn by doing?
Sorry, what's the
point? All of these jobs that we are opening up, are they all skilled positions? Are they positions where anybody can come in and get on the job training? And
I think pretty broad range. You go from roofers to the more tactical aspects of the areas.
Yeah.
So it's part of that quarterly report. It would be interesting, I think, and useful for us to know what the current sort of number of employees, you know, in the county, if you would, by small businesses are. Estimated and then what
the
growth would be. So, I mean, yeah, let's say we have 1,500 right now, we just grew by 100. Well, that's a pretty significant growth in the course of a year. I don't know what that number is. Like, I could be wildly underestimating what that number is, but
it'll take some time, but yeah, that's fine.
That no fee business license.
Well, I know.
Really helpful. Yeah,
that makes it really difficult because I'm going to go on with three or four.
I know one board member who voted for it, but.
Anyway, the quarterly update will at least tell you the pluses and minuses, the changes, and there's a lot of significant changes going on, which is a really good positive thing. Pretty soon it'll start creating complaints because there's so much change going on, and new business and traffic will be a problem in an area, and some people will complain about that, but it'd be nice to have those kind of complaints for a little bit.
Yeah. Now, when we go back to communication, we have anything in there about broadband? I know when I go on Mountain Hill Road, I can't use my phone. Are we improving and people being able to?
You really need to wait till the results of the Broadband Access Task Force come out. They report out by the end of October, and all there'll be some significant information coming to the board to report on that, on all the alternatives and options.
Which one? I'm with the communications.
There was a broadband one in there that I saw.
I mean,
it was under Eager there.
It's under Eager. I thought it was under Communications Services.
Right,
broadband.
A1. That was to create the task force. And you already did that.
Okay.
So the task force has to report out to you by the end of October. And they're on track to do that. They've gotten significant work done. So.
And with the additional towers now, it's likely that you might see some cellular companies. One of the things that is changing, and that sort of holds Hogan sort of both for broadband but also just in the use of the towers, is sort of the resurgence of LTE. The new LTE 4 has higher bandwidth speeds than the previous one, so that's being used more extensively for rural broadband type of initiatives. And so I would expect that you might see some cellular carriers start to say,
it's hard to get caught up, isn't it? I mean, you're at this level, and then there's another level, and it just keeps on going.
So make money.
And
every level is more expensive.
The end point is where the towers are providing infrastructure for them to do that in a significant manner.
What about the tower on Mountaineer Road? What's on that? It's a moderate. The one right at Mountaineer Road. There's one sitting back.
Is that the Cohasset?
Yeah, you all call it Cohasset. Yes.
That's a non-county SBA.
Right.
I think owns it, and I think Verizon and
Are they on there?
Supposed to go on. Right now, I don't think there's anybody on.
Yeah, that's it. We had that. That would help.
Yeah. And part of the issue too is that cell carriers. I mean, we can only be so offensive in looking at this. Generally, the county will be defensive in a position of defense. When we built the towers and they go in to get the FCC licensing and the FAA licensing, the FAA for the towers, that's where the carriers find, oh, there's new towers going up. But they're going to have a plan in place for our build out is this direction or this part of the county. And if they don't have the rooftops or the customer saying, you know, they can build out, you know, another 3,000 homes or I don't know what their numbers are. But that's how they decide where they're going to build, where they're going to put additional resources. But with our towers now being in the system, they know that we can be guaranteed they know about them.
Right.
But it will help, too, for us to do some additional saying, hey, we have this area, we have a need, can you do that? And just because we have the towers doesn't mean that cell carriers are going to put things on it, or that broadband, it'll make sense for broadband to go on there because you have to connect it somehow, whether that's a microwave backbone to do that or whether it has to be done through fiber. So there's a lot of things up in the air, but we certainly are in a better position today than what we were before with not having any resources there. So things are improving, but it's just going to take a little bit.
But the Broadband Access Task Force is meant to look at all those and come back with alternatives and recommendations and options.
Here's my one question, and I'm going to go back to Ken's door. That one pole sitting there with nothing on it except for the T-Mobile. They only look at the houses. But I think, can we use this as a selling point for that pole? The traffic that goes through there going to Richmond in the morning, because people at the lake have now realized I can save 10 minutes by driving through Ken's door, so when I roll out at 5:30 in the morning, I'm passing 25 car vehicles, and are those 25 vehicles Verizon customers? So that I don't know if we can count that towards the rooftops because of the traffic coming through there.
Well, problem is it's not new.
Not a new customer.
New
it wouldn't be a new. You wouldn't be a new customer. Just
right.
Be
it's
an
not,
existing.
It's not new customers.
That's, and that's what they're looking for.
And that's, only thing, that's why that was my question. That's the only thing that counts. All righty, Ms. Woodsdale, let's get this done.
Okay. D9. This is about boat ramps along the Ravanna and James Rivers.
Amen.
The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries has the funds. It's my understanding that they're waiting for this.
So the state has the funds. Their first priority is to blow up the one down here.
Right. That's got to be redone. I mean, that.
Do that.
A young person might get hurt there. Much less me.
Right.
Less me.
The second one on the hardware, they left part of the road, part of Route 6 there. They explained to me that they're waiting a year or two to see how folks are getting down that hill. Instead of going and carve out a sidewalk, they're going to wait to see how the natural path goes, and then they'll figure out how to get either a small ramp or a walkway down to the bridge.
Sort of around that bridge, is that sort of where you're talking about?
Well, so the new bridge, well, where the old bridge
right.
was, they left the west part of the road there and added some pavement just for enough to turn around in our park. So I'm assuming within the next year or two, we'll stay in touch. They'll want to continue either some kind of steps or a ramp to get down.
But do you really need a ramp there? I've gone out of there quite a few times. And there's concrete right next to the James. You know, you just go off the concrete and into the James.
Right.
I mean, why are you putting another ramp on further up, I guess?
Let me rephrase it. It's not a ramp that you would back down into. A ramp just to have your canoe and let it slide down to hit another biggest barrier. So while you let your canoe or kayak slide down, you take the walking path, pick it up, and then get down to the water. It's a pretty steep drop off, so there's some variables that we're going to have to work on.
And when they were doing that construction, I was down there and took quite a few pictures of how they revamped that bridge and all.
It's a good opportunity. They are
at the Hardware River?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is we want to try to build a house, something from there to be able to get to the James from the Hardware, because there's nothing along there that's really comfortable. But all we need is just some place where you can pull your car off, park, and then slide your kayak or canoe down, you know, down into the river.
That's,
you don't have to have a boat ramp, per se.
There's a lot of increased activity, it seems like, on the one right by the lake.
Yeah, I think so, too. I've been floating Milton to Crofton and Crofton to here, and there's a fair amount of folks out there.
You've been floating that? You've been just on a tube or
kayak? No, floating on a kayak.
Yeah.
Mostly in the kayak, sometimes not so much.
Should we change the dates on here? When do we do that?
Well, normally what you do is you create a plan in the even numbered year, and then it's 2 years, so 16 and 17. In January, after where the elections are done, you'll have probably another local offsite. We'll do some planning stuff, and you'll create a new 2 year plan for 17 or for 18 and 19. So while some of these dates we met way early, some dates we haven't met, it's really part of your 2 year plan. And at the end of this 2 years now, we'll reassess these and see which ones you want to keep on the list, which ones are still doable, which ones we want to finish up on, and move to the next plan. But some of these will still be done by year end.
All right, so you're done with the Hardware.
Really quick, the newest Route 6 bridge right before Columbia.
You knew where I was going.
Well, the last time we spoke was probably been about 3 or 4 months ago. They've got the money in the budget, but they need to get done this project first. So they're waiting for the
Hardware
here in Elmira.
They can't
start two projects.
As long as it hasn't fallen off the radar.
It hasn't fallen off the radar, but the longer they wait with the money in there, it is they fund it.
How about
we need that one because
have we had any luck with the behind the field? Okay. All right. Come up with plan B.
Yeah, we really need something in the Carriersburg area because it's a long, long run.
You're not making it from Palmyra to Columbia.
Not unless the water's high.
No, and not unless you're camping.
Yeah.
You're looking at six hours.
When the water's this time of year, it'll take forever to get to the Columbia, to the James.
About a day and a half.
Yeah.
Okay, D10 involves a couple of different parks. Crofton Park, we have a conceptual site plan for. The Goochland coordination, their parks and director, and I'm not sure where we're at with that. That's going to be a Parks and Rec question. I think it's ongoing, but
and
I'm not sure
Aaron
where.
Aaron Spitzer was on vacation this week, so I couldn't get enough.
And the last two, E5, reduce the county's reliance on creating the mail and paper checks for payments and implement EFT transactions. That's underway as well. That will be a great benefit when we get there. There's just a lot of logistics to get there. And provide samples of monthly treasury report options so the board can decide what they'd like to see. I understand there have been some options gone over, so I think we're heading that direction.
Okay. We've provided all the alternatives and options, and I know Ms. Lenher then collected some additional ones. I think we're just waiting for her to come to a brief to the board.
Wouldn't E4 just be completed at this point in time just because there is no answer?
Yeah, the only reason I left it is red on there. We could mark it as completed, but green to me means you accomplished something. At the end of this one, I'd rather leave that one as canceled rather than
make the whole thing
green.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to change them until the end of this cycle at the end of this year. So
thank you very much, ma'am.
I have a question.
Marianne.
I always have a question. The credit cards.
Uh-huh.
How far have we progressed, and how are we going to make up for that 5% that they charge? What's your plans on that?
The credit cards, the proposal we have and the one that we're going with will not cost the county anything. There
How
will
is
be
that
a
possible?
To the citizens. And
oh, okay. Well, that's what
citizens.
I was getting at.
But
In other words, you add maybe like 3% or 5% onto their bill.
Most transactions will be 2.5% for the citizens.
Okay.
Under, I think
that's
it's
good.
$42, it's $2 or, I'm sorry,
okay.
The numbers are
that's what I was like getting at.
Yeah. It will be an additional charge to the citizens, so it won't cost the county anything. And they're also providing us at each of our locations that we will accept credit cards, they're providing us the scanners at no charge as well.
Super.
And they already, if the citizen wants to pay their taxes and use a credit card,
sure,
they're already charged a fee. This fee is actually lower, but it'll be available to do credit card or debit card transactions at all of our cash points, mm-hmm, which is much easier than you used to either have,
sure,
to cash or check to Parks and Rec to get something. Well, now you can use credit cards.
And they actually also have an e-check option that they can use either online,
yeah,
or in our locations that'll approve the check right away. And there is an additional to that as well to the citizen, but it's
kind of like at Walmart when they give you a check, they hand you a check back.
I'm familiar
with scan it.
With the landfill, it's going to be the same way over there that you can have a credit card over there.
Our intent is
and
to
have
one there, Public Works, the library, Parks and Rec, building planning, as many places as we can get it into. That
there'll be a lot of folks going to planning and building inspections that'll be delighted to not have,
yeah,
to go find a check or cash,
yeah,
pay their $50 registration fee or their license fee and things, so it'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Very
thank
good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a comment about the Mrs. Geiger and I on the Ravana Board, Basin Commission. That is the most, for me, the most difficult board to really get a grasp of where we're going. I mean, we got to know for wood that we're gonna have another meeting on September some other time. And there's going to be a conference. Is it a conference or they call it a convention? That's coming up soon.
When is the next meeting?
The next meeting, I think it's in September. Remember the time when we were gonna have that and you were gonna participate, but we had all that rain?
Rain game.
There's a lot of good things that they want to do on the James, recreational, just keeping the James in good shape and all of that. And there are a couple of those people go in and make sure that water is healthy. They put those people together. Jefferson area has taken over their budget. I mean, it's just so much to take in. And I feel like, now I've been on there 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, I'm not bringing anything back to this board of any substance.
Is that
are you
going to
help me, Patricia?
No, I totally agree. I mean,
yeah.
They don't even tell me when the meetings are.
Yeah, and it's an important commission because it's state regulating. It state says that we have to do.
But I don't believe we have a whole lot of say on.
No, I don't think we do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind going, but I'm still, I must be a slow learner.
They come to an annual brief for the board, so you do get one good full brief by them every year.
Yeah, but you get all the...
But, right.
And documentation is a long way.
Right. Thomas Jefferson Soil and Water Conservation District or RBC, they give us briefs.
Maybe when we do something, we could have them come in and just kind of brief us in some way.
Well, Melville, you know, some of those streams, they come in and they actually document which streams and how far up the stream is.
Yeah.
It's red or green or whatever color it is.
And the kids have done some. The
high
school children have done some. In fact, Tony's daughter, when the Blue Ridge Gifted thing, did a whole presentation where she studied it. But I think as Ravana River is one of, it's our river. The James and Ravana is our river, mm-hmm, through Ravana River.
Agreed.
Green? Got to go through green and comes through us. We need to be a little bit knowledgeable.
Moselle, let me know when the next
meeting. I mean, the only thing I can suggest is y'all talk to whoever the chairman is and say, hey, we're not getting enough information.
I think we may be getting the information. It's just, and Marvin's on that too. And of course, Marvin's been on that forever.
Ever.
He knows everything. Maybe he needs, somebody needs to maybe see whether
he's on the barn now, maybe.
Anything. Yeah. Are we missing anything? That's my problem.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, I'm finished.
Now we'll move to the consent agenda.
So there's a lot of items on it, but just to give you a heads up on there, on the second page, I've got these three marked. In the package, there was some name differences. One said task order, one said
project
agreement. They've been fixed, and I've got the corrected ones for you. So they say that they're consistent all the way through. It's the task order.
All right, so an M, I need to look up there and read that.
Right.
All right, here we go.
On yours, it's the same on yours, but there's just corrections in for the motions. I'll show you.
All righty. G, minutes of the July 5th, 2017 meeting. H, additional stipend for double duty sheriff's office. I, FY17 Commonwealth Attorney Supplemental Appropriation Temporary Intern, Marty Burkhardt. J, FY17 Commonwealth Attorney's Victim Witness Grant Supplemental Appropriation, Burkhardt. FY18 Library State Aid Supplemental Appropriation, Mr. Burkhardt. L, MOU for Sharing Charlottesville, UVA Albemarle Public Safety Frequencies, Ms. Elliott. M, Closed Landfill Gas Monitoring, Ms. Toller. N, Closed Landfill Groundwater Monitoring Program, Ms. Toller. O, Closed Landfill Quarterly Site Inspection, Ms. Toller. P, CRMF Request, Unexpected Repairs to Courts Building Well Water System, Mr. Stevens. Q, CRMF Request, Unexpected Repairs to the Skid Steer Replacement for Both Drive Tracks, Mr. Stevens. R, Advertisement of the proposed First Amendment to Structure Lease Agreement with New Singular Wireless PCS LLC, Mr. Dahl. Any questions, sir? And I'm looking right at you because I know you got them marked.
How do you know that?
Because it's a board meeting.
No, I've already talked to Steve about the M, N, and O.
And I saw the email, how you brought those up. You were the one that caught that.
Well, yeah.
Anything else besides that?
And then... you've already talked about this. It was the well, the $7,800. I was just
where the wire burned up.
Yeah, I was just curious why it seemed to be so expensive to repair that well. And I know it was deep, and a little bit of history. That thing produced like 75 gallons a minute. That was really a great well.
And that's for this building?
Yeah, okay. For this.
Yeah, what's that other? The other well is over there at Carriesbrook. That produced so much water.
I don't know.
I don't know
nothing about no wells. I just know we have.
Where is Wayne? Wayne's not here, so we're not going to discuss wells.
Steven just had
surgery
on his shoulder on Monday. He'll be back next Monday. So.
And then I would like some discussion on this last one.
Advertisement of the
proposed. Yeah, it's the last one. That was R.
Yes, sir.
If you could sort of go through that one and.
Okay, Mr. Dahl, that would be all you, sir.
Sure. So for R, it's any type of use of county property, lease of county property, disposal of the county property, we have to have a public hearing for that property. So kind of like the FCSS lease, we're having a public hearing. So the key component of this is as one of the carriers were modifying equipment on one of the towers that we have, which is by the Palmyra Fire Station, it was brought to our attention that some of the new modifications to their equipment was also going to change some of the loading on the tower, and was also going to restrict some of our uses for additional carriers on that tower. Once we started looking into it more, we noticed as well that maybe the way that the tower was built amount of carriers it was supposed to have and allow for the county for future use wasn't maybe up to snuff and up to par on what it should be. So through some of this and working with Ms. Hoffman and Mr. Payne's office, we've been going back and back with the carriers to one. So when this tower was originally built, we get rent from the tower. It's the county's tower. Because one of the carriers built the tower, we were getting a rent abatement. So basically, instead of getting the $2,000 a month, we're getting about 25% of that, and up to a certain point until the carrier would kind of recoup their costs for the tower, then that abatement would go away. Well, after we noticed we weren't getting
proper use for additional carriers. We kind of got in negotiations with this cell tower provider, and basically what this does, it gets rid of the abatement for the tower, for that carrier. So there's about $75,000 that the county was willing to abate to this carrier in future lease payments, so that goes away. The carrier is also going to be beefing up the tower, so we will still have, I think we're going to have still availability for two additional carriers on that tower. So they're going to be putting more additional steel into that tower. So what this basically does, we're just ratifying an advertisement. To one, we're going to enter into a new lease with them, an amendment for a lease, which is getting rid of the abatement. We're getting some upgrades to the towers and
other relevant changes, it says.
That's, I mean, basically that's...
That covers it out.
Basically, that's the main component. This is a benefit for the county. The towers get beefed up. It's our tower. We'll have more room on there for carriers, and we're getting rid of about $75,000 in rent payments.
So we're gaining $75,000 in revenue.
Yes.
So you're actually picking up, though, over the 2018, 19, and 20, and partially some of the other years, over $80,000 in rent on that.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's because we were letting them recoup their costs, but now that's done, so now they're just going to pay.
It's a much better deal now, as I understand it.
And then through some of the original abatement that was allowed back in 2009, 2010, we maybe didn't do, we didn't get the best deal.
Right.
It wasn't as good or as it could have been.
Yes.
So once we knew that the carrier wanted to upgrade, that was the best time to go ahead, and they wanted to get their new equipment on there.
Great
so
time.
That was a good time to renegotiate that lease.
Now, when you say the public hearing will be conducted, you're talking about the hearing that we've already had?
No.
It's a new public hearing for a new lease.
When is it?
Next, on the 16th.
16th.
We've already started the advertising on. We're just asking you to ratify the advertising.
Okay.
Yeah, and unfortunately with this one too, we could have you approve the advertisement ahead of time because we wanted to get this on the agenda quicker so we could start to recoup some of that, some of those dollars.
Okay. So we don't have to have that motion.
Well, it's part. You're going to ratify the advertising.
Yes, ma'am.
It's part of the consent agenda.
This is the questioning of the consent agenda. And then we'll come back. Any other questions for Mr.
Powell? I apologize. This one wasn't in there. This was kind of a last minute.
That's all right.
With this,
because I knew
this often. Mr. Payne's office that we were trying to get on there quickly.
Yeah, it wasn't listed on your agenda. And it's a good catch on that. Fortunately, the one that was published and the ones on the website had it on there.
Do you have any comments on that M, N, and O?
Yeah. So. Just by way of clarification, if you look at one of these, I'll just show you one as an example. There was the cover sheet like this you see on the screen, and then there was a project agreement document. The problem is the project agreement documents got mixed up on there's three of them. They're all the same project.
Sure.
But they're project amendment 16, 17, and 18. But they got mixed up. And oh, by the way, we had the language as project agreement on part of it and as task order on other parts of it. So those have all been fixed. They're all project agreements. It's for number 16, 17, and 18. And this list is what I emailed you the other day. That's the motions that list the dollar values in for project amendment 17, 16, and 18.
It's some of the language is somewhat of semantics. I mean, because when Mr. Payne's office and Ms. Hoffman, she calls them project agreements. From the past, we were always used to calling them task orders. They're kind of one and the same, but to keep it consistent with the document and what the actual document is called, we're going to start going forward and calling them project agreements versus task orders.
How do these costs compare to what we had? Are there any increases? If so, how much?
All of these costs were already budgeted, and this was part of...
it was budgeted, but I wanted to know what we were paying in the past.
Very similar. I think only one of them changed from what we had prior, and I actually believe it was a reduction because everything was standard moving from the last one.
So there were no changes other than a reduction.
Yeah, I believe it was a reduction.
I'd like some more of those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Are we ready for a motion?
Ready for a motion. Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the consent agenda. G through R.
Second. I have a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passes 5-0. All righty. We have no unfinished, or is there any unfinished business?
I was mentioning that. Could you just hit on BB&T we did about a month ago or 6 weeks ago?
Sir.
Yeah, I actually just spoke with Ms. Hoffman and Mr. Payton's office. She is about 90% done with the contract, getting it done. She does know who BB&T's attorneys are, which they took a long time to tell her. It's moving forward. It's just moving forward a lot slower than I had originally anticipated it to.
The reason I ask is I went through that contract pretty well, and the county's going to save some money or make some money on it.
Yes.
And to me, each month that we lose, that's that much more. But you want a contract that's right, too, and right for the county.
Right.
So I understand that was it.
There were a lot of concerns about it.
There were certain things that the BB&T were asking the county to do that the county's just not legally allowed to do. And that was a point of contention going back for a bit.
It's a very bureaucratic agency, like a lot of these things, and they have one form, and that form was designed for private sector businesses. And a lot of that stuff we simply can't do.
So you found out some of this afternoon that we're close to the contract?
Yeah, I talked to Christina before coming over here, and she said she's about 90% done.
I've already asked them, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I wish they could move along faster, too, but A, it's the first one of this kind we've done with this bank. B, getting the initial language done and saying, here's our proposal, well, now you're going to then start negotiating. And so it takes that time to write this contract. And it's complex because, well, they're used to deal with, you know, commercial entities where you can write the contract differently. But
the thing to remember, too, once we get this contract in place, it's going to take a little while to implement all this banking too, because you've got the schools, you've got the county, we've got a lot of accounts that are tied to this whole account.
Yes,
so it's not like we can just cut over and like we're going to be with BB&T.
It will be a long process.
It's going to probably be a 120 day transition.
At least, yeah.
So. But it will be better for the county over the
certainly appeared to be
contract
from what you had.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Good, sir?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Any new business? Okay. Hearing none, we will now move to our second round of public comments. Anyone wishing to address the board should come to the podium and state your name and address. Please remember to keep your comments to 5 minutes on topic and direct it to the board. Anyone wishing to speak at this time? Whoop.
Hi, Cheryl Elliott. I just wanted to let you know, with the radio system, we will be doing coverage testing starting August 14th. And for about 2 weeks, there will be using marked county vehicles going through the county. Those are the Can You Hear Me Now tests. And that we'll be doing, so they'll be kind of slow going. We will be putting some ads in the Blue Man Review, too, just to let residents know if they're seeing county vehicles stopping, people maybe getting out. But we'll do both an audio test and then a signal quality test. And we'll also use a team to go down the Rivanna. So I think that's going to be paddle, paddle, drag, drag, as we go in and down through there below water to be able to test. And we're going to be doing some volunteers. We're going to be using Public Works, some Public Works employees to do driving. County employees to drive the vehicles with the teams. We'll have probably three teams to do that. So I wanted to let you know, if you hear people saying, well, how come the county vehicles are all over the county? There, we will be looking, the county is divided into tiles, and there'll be over 2,000 tiles, so that we will make sure that we have coverage in every one of those tiles. Remember, Motorola has given us a 95% coverage rate, so 95% of the tiles have to be covered with good signal in it. So we'll be able to see where we don't have signal. There will be some tiles that there's no roads through, and so we'll need to ascertain, are those ones that we need to either get permission to get inside, or are they ones that we don't necessarily need to test. We will be using the UTV to go, like along Pleasant Road to check that, although Mr. Stevens said he would use his motorcycle So I just wanted to let you know.
He's practically bionic now. He can ride in.
So we will have. There'll be a lot happening in the next couple of weeks with that, and also testing the buildings to make sure that we have coverage. Like here in the courthouse, we frequently have problems here. The high school has the BDA in it, so that will be turned over to the new system, and then we'll test that again. We're anticipating all of the buildings in the county, with the exception of this one, maybe, that we may not need to add additional equipment to make sure the signal works. But that's part of what we'll be doing all through, you know, the testing. We'll be handing out new radios and new pagers and everything around the 24th, and cutover right now is scheduled for the 29th. And then basically September will mean the burn-in time period and the buttoning up things and all of that. But August, you'll see a lot of activity, and we just wanted to let you know in case citizens come to you and say, hey, what's going on?
Well, there's how many celebration.
how many towers do we have now on this?
Six.
Me
six.
Six
sites.
And in here, we talked about Charlottesville and Alamar going in with us.
Yeah, basically what that is, we have channels in the radios that will be tied to Louisa, to Buckingham, to Albemarle, to Goochland, so that in the radios they can turn to a certain channel and actually talk to the other
we have that now.
Areas, which we have now. Albemarle, because what we're going to do is they're actually giving us access to their talk groups that will be programmed in a certain number of our radios, so that it's more than it's a sharing of those frequencies, and that's what that MOU is for. It gives us more direct access to their frequencies.
And are we not working with some other counties to reduce that maintenance cost of $80,000?
Yes, actually, and it'll be a little bit more than 80. With it's and you will see complaining either the next time or the September 6th meeting. You'll have the service agreement, which is what happens, how to take care of the system after the warranty period. And that service agreement covers all of our radios, all of our sites, and all of that. About half of the amount. It's about 100, the total amount is going to be about $300,000 per year. About half of that is the core, is specifically related to the core.
$300,000 for what?
For the total service. After warranty, that's they monitor the whole system. If there's any issues with it, they update the firmware and the hardware and everything. They'll update that on a regular basis.
That's every year.
Yes.
$300,000.
Yes. Which has been budgeted. That is
the cost to operate the system.
Right.
Yeah, but we were looking at the revenue to come back in and to pay for a lot of these costs.
No, totally different, separate things.
Okay, yeah. I'm confused
so,
about
well,
that.
Well, no, in the radio project, for sure, you've got, let's assume we just build this radio project and it's an E-91 project and it's running for fire rescue and the sheriff's office. It costs us $300,000 a year to run that system. But that's what it's always been. The good part about going forward is that with Ms. Elliott's work with the other counties, part of that $300,000 will be paid for by Louisa. If Madison and Green come on, even though the $300,000 may go up a little because it'll be a different core, a bigger core, then they will pay part of that too. But we always had the bill for $300,000, the annual maintenance cost to run our E-91 system. Now, second from that, because you built these towers, the towers have spaces that may be able to use for commercial providers. And if commercial providers go on there, then we would accrue rent from that. It's not a direct offset to E-91 system, it's just revenue for the county. But in essence, it would offset costs because it's new revenue coming in. But the sharing of our system with Louisa is the primary ongoing effort where they're going to share our core. So they'll come back in and pay for essentially half of the core.
Which would be more than $80,000.
Yes, yes.
And that's capital dollars, right. That may
be. The core is actually around $750,000.
Right, so they'll look at $300,000 or $400,000.
And that's what will be shared. So if it's just Louisa, it'll be 50-50 split.
And that's occurring every year, I think.
No. That's
one-time cost.
One-time cost.
For this hardware.
Okay.
Then the maintenance every year, they'll pay for half of the maintenance.
Right.
Is that the $80,000?
Well,
the 300.
I was thinking the core, it would have been, it was 80, but it's with all the radios and all the components, it's 150 is what the
So it's not 80, it's 150.
It's 150.
And
right.
That's yearly.
That's yearly. And that's the portion of it that would be split among the four counties.
If we get them all.
If they don't come on in just Louisa, then half of the 150 would be,
right.
would be their cost, half of the would be our cost.
So it's by building a regional system, it's especially if and when Green and Madison come on, it's splitting, we'll have a quarter of the cost of the ongoing operations.
Does anybody understand all this?
Yeah. I thought
and
yes,
I'll
good.
Explain
you understand
it.
All this?
I'll explain it to you again.
I thought
okay,
you said it was
good.
300,000.
Pardon?
I thought you said it was annually 300,000.
It is for the maintenance of the system, but half of that is our specific equipment. Half of it is considered the brains of it. And what we're going to be sharing is the brains, because Louisa will have their specific equipment and their towers and everything. Because we won't do any maintenance on their towers. We'll only
maintain. So if we split it 50-50, we will reduce to $225,000 a year for maintenance. 150
yes, right.
for equipment.
150 is ours. 150 is half and
so
half.
So instead of 300,000, reduce it
to
25.
Right. And Madison and Green have approved their needs assessment start. And that's the first step in building their radio systems.
Okay.
And they are anticipating coming on to the regional system. And they started that money was and that project. Those projects started August 1st. So, and they would, I would say they would, that'll be 6 to 8 months, 9 months for their needs assessment, and then they would be the contract negotiations riding our Motorola contract in the same way. So, if that gets filled out, I'd say they're maybe 3 years out for when they will be coming on.
So that could possibly reduce that bill from 150 to 75 with one, down to 50 with two of them coming in. If all three of them come in, we'll be down around 34.
Yes, but the cost
will go up.
The overall cost, because the core has to change, but it's still then split four ways. It'll
okay.
still be a savings for us, and whenever we have to replace it, we won't be paying down a capital cost ourselves. It'll be split four ways.
Right.
Last question.
Yes.
Is it running now already?
The system?
Yes.
We have a single site trunk system.
Okay.
Because the sheriff's
so
site
it won't
is
come on until then.
Right, but by the end of next week, the entire system should be up and running, and then there's testing that needs to be done, and then we do coverage. So that by the time we do cutover, I mean, in that when the radios are handed out the 24th, then that the whole system will be operational, but we won't allow people to use it until cutover.
I bet Mr. Sheridan will cover almost half of the 2,000 tiles.
you want me just to do it with the radio? Hand me one. I guarantee you, I cover the ground.
The other thing that we're working on.
You just
I met
tell me where we need to go.
I met yesterday with Chief Green at Louisa. We need to have what we're working on the four counties, actually Orange included and Albemarle, Charlottesville, UVA. So it's the six jurisdictions on a high level MOU that says yes, we want to collaborate and work together. That will be coming to you for your approval. And then yesterday, Louisa and Fluvanna will have to do an MOU for how are we going to play together on the system. How is it going to be owned? How is it going to be managed? Who's going to pay for what, when, and what's the buy-in? All of that. So we're in process of working on that, and we're anticipating that will come to you before we have final sign off on our system. So
will there be any state monies for our regional program? Is there any funding anywhere because we have a regional program?
Yes. With updating, we have an LCOR, and it allows for a certain amount of sites to be on the system, and that will cover Louisa and Fluvanna. When the other two counties or three, if Orange decides to come too, we have to upgrade to an M core. That upgrade, and when you do that, we probably would want to geographically separate the backup. Right now, it's all in, the redundancy is all built within the system here. But when you have four or five jurisdictions, you may want to just do the backup, that if something would go down, the system is still up.
All right. Thank you, but this is in the 5-minute section of public comment, and you're past it. So thank you very much. We're gonna have to come back, but we're gonna have to come back to this when it has to come before the board. So she will have to come back and tell us all of it all over again. Okay. So, but thank you very much. Let's see. We now have Mr. O'Brien.
Well, prior to that, I just want to recognize the sheriff and the National Night Out program.
Yes.
Success. So,
very nice.
Good to see everybody
thank
out there.
You,
and I spoke to Rich Constantino, and he said that Ladder 53 had been used in a fire, and it was very helpful. So that was useful. He said it helped.
Unfortunately, we did have two house fires in the county.
So that's good. Good to see progress on all those sides. Mr. Chair, I move the Savannah County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A1, Section 2.2-3711A3, Section 2.2-3711A6, Section 2.2-3711A7, Section 2.2-3711A8 of the Code of Virginia
1950,
personnel, real estate, investment of funds, and litigation.
Second. Motion is made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Oh, chair and legal matters. Missing has a check box.
Okay. And chair votes aye. Passes 5-0.
Everybody go for a probation.
Yes, sir. Mr. O'Brien, please.
This meeting will be adjourned and the Savannah County Board of Supervisors can meet again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that to the best of each member's knowledge, one, only public business matters lawfully exempted from the open meeting requirements of Section 2.2-3711A of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended, and two, public business matters as were identified in the motion by which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, and considered the meeting.
Second.
All right.
We have a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. Ms. Eager.
Aye.
I don't want to do
that. Yes, Weaver.
Aye.
Mr. O'Brien. Chair votes aye. We're now back in session. We have a motion, Mr. O'Brien.
I've read it.
Yeah, where's the motion?
Up here.
I move to approve a hiring salary of $50,000 for the new CSA coordinator, Mr. Brian Muller, effective August 18, 2017.
Second. We have a motion made by Mr. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion passed 5-0. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So made.
So
it's a motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Ms. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. We're out of here.